be here this morning. Enjoyed staying over at Brother Brant and Rose's house last night, and such a wonderful thing to see people that you love.
Yeah.
And I appreciate what y'all done, okay? That was precious, okay. But anyway, thank the Lord for all of you. The last time I was supposed to come, we had health problems. And, you know, as we get older, you know, things happen to us.
Yep.
You know, an old man is just like an old car.
Yeah.
There's always something tearing up or flying off of it, okay?
Right.
So, but anyway, you know, the Lord's good to us. And so we're here this morning, and good to be here. So happy to see the little kids, and the little kids are getting to be big kids. So, but anyway, this morning as I go to John chapter 3, verse 16, he says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." So we'll go back to verse 16. "For God so loved the world." What is he talking about? He's talking about the world of his elect, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
His called and his elect and his chosen people. For God loved that world, okay? And he loved them enough that he gave his only begotten Son. Now, I don't know of anybody that would give one of their children.
No.
Nobody. None of us could do that. But God loved us so much that he gave his only begotten Son. And it says that whosoever believeth in him. Now, who believes in him? The ones that he chose and called, and the ones that he wrote their name in the book of life before the world began. That's the ones that will believe in it.
That's it.
You know, the Arminian world, you know, they believe that, you know, salvation is by the works of man. They'll say, well, it says right there, you know, that whosoever believeth in him, you know, shall have everlasting life. How can you believe in him? You can't believe in something you don't believe in, do you? It's impossible, isn't it? Now, who believes in him? His children, isn't it?
That's right.
The ones that he's called and the ones that he has predestinated to be conformed to the image of Christ. That's the ones that will believe in him, isn't it?
That's it.
So anyway, you know, that is the gospel story right there, isn't it?
That's it.
God loved us so much, he sent his Son down to bleed and to die for us and take all of our sins upon him. And when he went to the cross, and by his death, burial, and his resurrection, he paid for all of our sins. So, well, I guess we just got it made, ain't we? Well, we don't look at it that way. Well, eternally, we do.
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about that. As old Forrest Gump said, that's one less thing you got to worry about, okay? One less thing to have to think about, okay? You know, believe it this morning is true. Now, I'd hate to believe in a religion where that I felt like I could make a mistake and go to hell. People believe that, don't they? But, you know, I've been in the old Baptist church all my life. My mother and daddy was old Baptists, and You know, their mothers and daddies were. We're from, you know, that's just the way it's been, okay? That's all I know and that's all I believe. But I know a lot about the other belief. I know a lot about it, okay? But anyway, to me, I'll be like my grandfather, old Baptist who got the truth. When I was a kid, I said, "Well, Papa, how do you know we got the truth?" I said, "Other people think they got it too." He said, "Well, they just think they got it. We the ones that got it." So I grew with my Papa. We got the truth, okay? It's good enough to live by. It's good enough to die by, okay?
Yeah.
You know, when I die, if I'm laying out there, say, you know, you say one of the greatest things, you say, well, you know, he was an old Baptist.
Yeah.
He was an old Baptist. That's good enough for me. I love it. But anyway, it says, "For God so loved the world." So, you know, coming down here and seeing the kids and, you know, I thought about the subject of love.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, love is a wonderful thing, isn't it?
Sure it is.
It is a, you know, love is a powerful thing.
So God.
You know where love come from? Why don't we go to the Bible over here and let's see if we can find out where love come from. If you got your Bible and you want to turn to, you know, go to 1 John chapter 4. Beginning at verse 7, he said, "Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God." That's where it come from. Did it come from God? Did it? "And everyone that loveth is born of God." Well, that means if you love, if you got godly love, that means that you have been born again of God's Spirit and you are one of His children. And this morning, if you believe in Jesus Christ, that is evidence that you're one of His. You belong to Him. When you die, heaven will be your home.
Yep.
He said, "He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." Where did love come from? It come from God, didn't it? "In this was manifest the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us." You know, we love Him because He loved us. We wouldn't love Him at all if He hadn't loved us first. He said, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another."
Yep.
"No man that has seen God at any time, if we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and love is perfected in us." Isn't love a wonderful, wonderful thing? He said, "Hereby know we that we dwell in Him and He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world of His elect family." So, well, God just loves everybody. I hear that. I've heard that all my life. Well, you know, the Bible don't say that, does it? The Bible says He loved Jacob and hated Esau.
Yep.
How are we going to twist that around and make it not say what it says? You know, when we're reading the Bible, you should try to take sort of like the literal part first.
Yes.
You know, don't try to spiritualize everything. You know, one time I was telling a fella, I said, "You know," I said, "David walked up out on the roof of the castle. He saw a beautiful woman taking a bath, and he had her brought unto him, and he committed adultery, and he had her husband killed."
Yep.
Guy said, "What do you think that means?" I said, "Well, I think it means that David was up on the roof of the castle, and he saw a beautiful woman taking a bath, and he brought her unto him and committed adultery and had her husband killed. I think that's what it meant."
Yeah.
The Bible, you know, most of the time it means exactly what it says, don't it?
Exactly,
okay. And so, but anyway, we're going to carry on here. He says, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. You can't confess Jesus Christ and really believe it unless you have been born again of his Spirit.
Yep.
That's the only way you can do it. Have you ever talked to somebody that don't believe in God? You can't make them believe in God.
No.
You know, we had a guy that was in my class in school. He had a terrible home. His mother and daddy were divorced. His mother was married again. They had a stepdad that he hated. They hated each other. But in the summertime, you know, we lived on a farm. He would come over at our house and stay sometimes a week, sometimes 2 weeks. He'd go out to the fields and work with us just like he was one of my brothers. And we were talking one day. He did not believe in God. And me and my brother, we were trying to tell him about God and make him believe in God. But if they don't believe in God, you can't make them believe in God. You know, the only one that can make them believe in God is God.
That's it.
He's the only one, isn't he? You know, you can't make another man believe in God. If they don't believe, they have to be born of the Spirit of God in order to see it.
That's right.
That's God's work, isn't it? And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God. He said, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in perfect love. There is no fear in love. But perfect love casteth out fear. And he that feareth is not made perfect in love. He says, we love him because he first loved us.
Amen.
If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he's a liar.
Yep.
For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he that loveth God love his brother also. See, we're commanded to do that, isn't it? And I'll go to the first verse in chapter 5. He said, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Well, I told you that a while ago, didn't I?
That's right.
There it is again in the Bible, isn't it? And everyone that loveth him that begat, that's God, isn't it? Loveth him also that is begotten. That's God's children, isn't it? You know, you're good brothers and sisters in Christ, isn't it? We're supposed to love one another. God has commanded us to do that, isn't it? I'm going to go to a... You know, we talk about love. There's a lot of different kinds of love, isn't it? You know, you got the love of God. We love God because God first loved us. You got the love between the man and his wife. You got the love that parents have for their children.
Yep.
You got the love, even animals have love. You know, animals, if they got little babies, they love them, don't they? They protect them and try to take care of them. We see little baby deer where we live occasionally. And them mothers, they take care of them babies. And they have to cross the road. They come from one place over there. And I saw a mother helping that baby across the road. You know, they love them. See, that's a form of love, isn't it?
Right.
All right, I'm going to start out this morning. The love between a man and a woman. As you go to Genesis chapter 29, there's a man called Jacob. And Jacob is the son of Isaac and Rebekah. And Jacob had a brother named Esau. Now they got crossways. You know, Esau sold his birthright to Jacob for a bowl of pottage. He didn't think much of it, did he?
No.
He sold out cheap. Okay. But anyway, and then it come the time when old Isaac had gotten old and he was ready to die. He told Esau, the oldest son, he said, go get me some of that venison, that tasty meat, and bring it to me, and I'll give you the blessing of the firstborn. Rebekah heard her say that. So when Esau went to kill the deer of the venison, she sent Jacob in there to take the birthright. He went in there and disguised himself as his brother, and Isaac gave him the birthright. Of course, when Esau come back, it made him mad. And so, you know, he was, in his mind, he was ready to kill his brother. But after Isaac died, Rebekah sent Jacob away to her brother in the east, Uncle Laban. We've all read and heard about Uncle Laban. You know how Uncle Laban was a crook, and you know he cheated him out of all this stuff. But in the final end, God blessed him and took care of all that, didn't he? But anyway, Jacob, he goes into the east, to the far east there, to look for Uncle Laban's house. And he comes up to a well where they brought sheep in and watered them. And he asked somebody about, you know, did they know somebody named Laban? They said, well, yeah, that his daughter is bringing the sheep. So he saw Rachel. And, you know, that was love at first sight. You know, we talk about God's love. And here's a man that saw a woman, a beautiful girl, and he fell in love with her. Jacob loved Rachel at first sight. And I'm going to read you a little bit what he said here. Said, and it came to pass when Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother. Said, wait a minute, they're first cousins. You know, we don't do that now, do we? We don't marry our first cousins now. But back then, it was, you know, it happened, didn't it? It was kind of like a practice back then. You know, they'd marry their cousins. Anyway, he sees his cousin. He said, and it came to pass that when Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of Jabin, his mother's brother, and the sheep of Laban, his mother's brother, that Jacob went near and rolled the stone from the well's mouth and watered the flock of Laban, his mother's brother. And Jacob kissed Rachel. That was love at first sight, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
He fell in love with her, didn't he? And Jacob told Rachel that he was her father's brother and that he was Rebekah's son. And she ran and told her father, and they welcomed him in. And Jacob began working for Uncle Laban. And Uncle Laban said, well, said, I don't want you to work for nothing. Said, you know, what would your wages be? He said, well, Rachel. You know, he wanted his daughter, okay? He said, and old Uncle Laban, he said, well, you can marry my daughter, but you're going to have to work for 7 years. 7 years. And he agreed to do it. Mm-hmm. Nowadays, wonder how many people would get married if the guy had to work for nothing for 7 years. I mean, that's a long time, isn't it? That's true love, isn't it? And so 7 years ended. It said, Jacob served 7 years for Rachel. And they seemed to him as but a few days. Boy, he was in love, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He was in love, okay? And then Jacob said to Laban, he said, you know, it's time for me to have my wife. Uncle Laban said, okay, I'm just paraphrasing. So they had, you know, I don't know how that system worked. It wasn't working like it does nowadays. But anyway, you know, he went into the tent that night and he thought he was in the tent with Rachel. But he woke up in the morning And behold, it was Leah, her older sister. Could you imagine what a shock that would be? Of course, he was unhappy, and he went to Uncle Laban. Uncle Laban said, well, according to our custom, you can't marry the younger girl before the older one. You know, and he said, if you want to marry the younger one, Rachel, you're going to have to work 7 more years.
Yeah.
That's 14 years, isn't it? I hope you love your wife this morning enough that you would work 14 years for nothing. But that seemed like a high price to pay, doesn't it? But you know, his love was so strong for her that he was willing to do that, and he did. And the rest is history. You can read all about it, can't you?
That's right.
And I'm going to get up here this morning, and I'm going to tell you some things about me. You ain't supposed to talk about yourself in the pulpit, but I'm getting old now. You know, when you get old, you can do stuff like this, okay?
Yep.
You know, years ago, there was a... You know, we're talking about love. See, my mother, I had the best mother in the world. She was... Her and Daddy were farm people, and they were good, godly... moral people, and my mother was the best mother in the world. I know you think yours was, but mine was. But anyway, she was the best mother in the world. And I loved her. I loved my mother as much as anybody could love a mother. And you know, and I met a little blonde-headed girl with blue eyes, blonde-headed, and I fell in love with her on the first date. I knew I wanted to marry her. And about 3 years went by. I spent 2 years in the Army. We dated 1 year, and then I got drafted into the military. I was gone 2 more years, and then I got back from Vietnam, and we got married. And I loved that girl more than anybody in the world, okay? I mean, I loved her more than anybody in the world. But you know what? I did not love my mother any less. I loved her more.
No.
See, that's the nature of love. Love begets more love, doesn't it?
Yeah.
More love. And we were married about 3 years. And then the Lord blessed us to have a little blonde-headed, blue-eyed baby girl.
Yeah.
8 pounds and 4 ounces, okay? And she was born at 3:40 in the morning, Saturday morning. And I was a barber, and I worked on Saturday, okay? So when that baby was born, I was so proud of that baby. I thought, man, if I have to work 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, you know, I'll do it. If I have to do that, I'm going to do that. I want this baby to have everything it needs.
Yeah.
I love that baby more than anything in the world. I went to work that day, and I was a barber, and I was booked up solid all day long with appointments. Everybody that sat down, I told them, I said, I got an 8-pound, 4-ounce baby girl. You know,
yeah.
Boy, I was so proud. You know, my heart was just bursting with love because I loved that baby.
Amen.
That's the way it's supposed to be, isn't it?
That's the way it's supposed to be.
But you know what? I didn't love my wife any less.
No.
I loved her more.
Absolutely.
And you know, I didn't love my mother any less. I loved my mother more.
Yeah.
See, that's the nature of love. You know, the more love you have, you know, it just kind of, you know, grows, doesn't it?
It does.
But as we think about that, and you see a mother's love for her children. See, a mother, you know, a parents, they will die for their children. You know, there's not many reasons that people would actually die for somebody else, but you would die for your children. You could take a mother, she'd fight a grizzly bear with a switch. She thought it was harming her baby. And she probably would win, you know. But that's just the nature of love, isn't it? That's love. So as you think about love, and then we're going to get back to God's love, okay? As we get to Jeremiah chapter 31:3, he tells us in verse 3, he said, "The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, I have loved thee with an everlasting love." Well, what is an everlasting love? It's exactly what it says. It's everlasting. There's no end to it. It is eternal love. That means he loves you before you was born, before the world ever was. Before you ever existed, you existed in the mind and purpose of God.
That's right.
And he loved you.
Amen.
He loves you now. He loves you today. He'll love you tomorrow.
Yeah.
He'll love you after you die. And he'll love you in heaven, won't he? It's an eternal, everlasting, eternal love. It never ends. He said, "Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee."
Yeah.
And as we get back to Jacob and Esau, they say, "Well, God just loved everybody. God just loved everybody." And some people are getting your face about that.
Yeah.
Well, if you go to the Bible in Malachi chapter 1, he says, "I have loved you with, saith the Lord. Yet you say, wherein hast thou loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith the Lord? And yet I loved Jacob, and I hated Esau, and laid his mountains and his heritage to waste." Say, so, well, wait a minute. That probably don't mean that. Well, if you go over to Romans chapter 9, it says it again, doesn't it? You know what they say about the Bible? If it says it once, you better believe it. It says it twice. You better really sit up and pay attention, okay? In Romans chapter 9, beginning at verse 6 there, he said, "Not as though the word of God had taken none effect, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel. Neither, because they are the seed of Abraham, are they all children. But in Isaac shall thy seed be called." What's he talking about? The seed of the Lord Jesus Christ, the lineage came through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, did it? The seed, Christ. He says, that is, they which are the children of the flesh, they are not the children of God. But the children of the promise are counted for the seed. For this is the word of promise. At this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. Sarah was Abraham's wife, wasn't she? He said, and not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand. Oh, election. You don't hear that word spoken of much, do you? You know, if you turn on the TV or the radio, you don't hear nobody preaching about election, do you? You don't hear nobody preaching about predestination. You know, the world hates those two words. And not much about chosen, okay? Chosen, called, and elected, and predestinated. But it said, for the children being not yet born, having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth.
Yeah.
He said, it was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. There it is again.
Yeah.
Case closed, okay? So, well, that's awful mean of God not to love that other one. Well, now what did Paul, when he was writing that, look at verse 14 right after that. He said, well, what shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? No, there is not. God can do anything he wants to because God is God and what he does is right.
That's it.
You can read in that Old Testament where he's bringing judgment upon those disobedient people. You know, and there was some horrible judgment came upon them. You say, well, that's unbelievable, isn't it? No. The Bible tells us, behold the goodness and the severity of God. You know, if you want to get out here and live like the devil, you know, you're going to reap what you sow. You know, God is watching. He knows everything we do. He knows everything that we think about, doesn't he? But everything God does is okay, it's righteous, isn't it? It's good, because God is good. Okay, we're going to go to something else here a little bit. We're talking about the love of God. And you know, man got himself in a mess. You know, when old Adam was in the Garden of Eden, you know, he was lonely, and God decided he needed a wife.
Yep.
You know how he got him a wife? He put him to sleep, took one of his ribs, and made him a wife. Her name was Eve, wasn't it? You know, do you believe that? If you believe that this morning, you have to be born of the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Because that a man, that God could take a man's rib and make a woman out of it.
That's right.
But you know, and he put them in the Garden of Eden. Perfect place. Everything they needed there. Give them one little stipulation. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Eat not of the fruit of that tree. Then comes the devil. Say, well, let's don't talk about the devil. Well, you know, we have to talk about the devil because, you know, the devil is real, isn't he?
That's right.
And the devil is always trying to mess up your life. So it's no different with Adam and Eve, was it? Then along comes the old serpent. And he starts questioning God. Yea, hath God said. You know, the devils out in the world, they don't believe in the Bible, do they? They don't believe in the Bible. Yea, hath God said. Well, this is God's word. God's holy and inspired word. It's good enough to live by. It's good enough to die by. You know, if you want to read the Bible and study it, you'll be smarter than other people that don't read it. But anyway, old Satan come along and he deceived Eve. You know, the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you know, he told her, he said, well, if you eat of that, you will not die. In other words, he's calling God a liar, isn't he? And he convinced her that the tree was good for food, it was pleasant to the eyes, and it was a tree desired to make one wise. Well, that would get almost any of us in trouble, wouldn't it? We like things that shine, don't we? We like things that look good. If you got an old car and you want to sell it, you know, the first thing you do, you'll wash that thing up and wax it up real pretty and make it shine.
Yep.
And somebody will buy it, won't they? People like things that look good and shine, pleasant to the eyes. And, see, that's the thing that got David in trouble, wasn't it? He saw a beautiful woman. She was pleasant to his eyes, wasn't she?
Right.
Got him in trouble. And something, a tree desired to make one wise. Well, we always want to be smart, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we love for people to say we're smart, don't we? You know, preacher gets up and preaches something. They just love somebody to say, boy, he sure is smart. You know, we all want to be smart, don't we?
Sure.
And so, you know, so the devil, he come along and give you something. You know, that you watch Hee-Haw, and old Archie Campbell is selling the smart pills.
Yeah.
And so he sells the old Roy Clark, you know, he sells him a pill for a dollar. He said, these pills are a dollar a piece. He said, do they work? And he said, yeah. He gave him a dollar and he took that pill. And he said, here's another one. Take another one. He bought another one. And he said, I don't believe this is doing me no good. He bought about three of them. He said, I don't believe they're doing me no good. He said, they are working, because see, you're already smarter. You're already getting smart, ain't you? So you know, we like things that make us smart. Even though we can't buy smart pills, we like things that make us smart, don't we? Something that'll make us wise, okay? But anyway, Eve took the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and she gave it to her husband Adam, and they both ate of it, didn't they? And when they did that, it changed everything, didn't it? First thing happened, they got cast out of the garden, didn't it? And they were running around there naked and didn't even know it. And then they realized they were naked. And they start trying to take fig leaves to cover themselves up, you know. And God comes walking in the cool of the day, and he said, Adam, where art thou? He knew where Adam was, didn't he?
Sure.
He knew exactly where he was. Yeah. And Adam said, we were naked and we were afraid. He said, who told thee that thou was naked? They didn't even know it, did they? They didn't even know it. But they had disobeyed God. You know, I was reading one time in the writings of Elder Hartzell Casey. You know, he was a long time ago. Good writings. You want to see what Primitive Baptists believe? Read the writings of Hartzell Casey.
Yeah.
And so, anyway, he said Adam was made and created. He was made able to stand, but liable to fall. He fell.
Sure.
But he had the ability to stand, though, didn't he?
Yeah.
But he didn't. He didn't. But anyway, when that happened, it changed everything. It affected us today.
That's right.
It brought death, natural death. Because of that, we have to die, don't we? Mm-hmm. Somewhere between 0 and 120, we pass away because of what happened in the Garden of Eden, don't we? He brought sin and sickness. Romans 5:12 says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Every one of us sinned when he sinned. He was our representative father, wasn't he?
That's right.
Had an old boy one time told me, he was of another faith. He said, that ain't got nothing to do with us. He said everybody's responsible for their own sins. And he didn't even believe that. Man fell in Adam. Hey, that's important, isn't it? To believe that, because it really happened. The Bible tells us that happened, isn't it? We fell with him. That brought sickness, sin, sorrow, and everything in the world in. All the bad stuff come in, you know, after that, didn't it? Sickness, sorrow, crying, dying, all that stuff come in. But you know what? You know, God loved us, didn't he?
That's right.
You know, we talk about God's love. You know, God loved us so much. As we go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4, he said, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us,
yes,
even when we were dead in trespasses and sins.
Amen.
He loved us in the worst sin that you've ever committed. You know, God still loves you. You know why he did? Because you're his child. You're his children. He said, even when we were dead in sins. You know, one time, Brother Hartzell Casey. Oh no, Brother Hartzell's dad. He was, his dad, Brother Hartzell Casey. He was in our time. Okay. Anyway, he preached at Eagle one time, but his dad was that other Casey, the writer. But anyway, I said, Brother Casey, I said, when Adam and Eve, when Adam fell in the garden, was he spiritually dead? He said he was dead in sins. I said, but was he spiritually dead? He said he was dead in sins.
Yeah.
You know what that means? Dead in sin, that means you're dead. You know, that word dead, you have to put a lot of emphasis on that word dead, because when something's dead, it can't do anything. If you're dead on the road, you can't do nothing. A dead animal can't do nothing. He can't accept Jesus, can he?
No.
Dead in sin means that you're in a condition that you can't get out of.
That's it.
And no way in the world you can get out of it. It's impossible. People say, well, all you got to do is accept Jesus. Well, go ahead and do it if you can. Good luck. Good luck. It ain't going to happen, is it?
No.
Say, well, how in the world can we get out of it? How can we get out of a mess like that? You know, I heard a fellow say one time, he said, God loved us, you know, that he was not going to leave us in a waste howling wilderness. And I love that word. I thought he made that up, but that's in the Bible. Sure. Waste howling wilderness is in the Bible. You know, but I like that expression. You know, said God did not leave us in a waste howling wilderness. But, you know, he came to us, didn't he? Because he loved us, didn't he? He said, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. We're sitting together this morning in a heavenly place, ain't we?
Yes, we are.
It's right here on earth, but it's a heavenly place, isn't it? It's a place where we come in and worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, isn't it?
That's it.
A good place to be. You know, when you're in church, you know, most people don't get in much trouble at church, do they?
No.
You know, there's places in this world, you know, where if you go, you could get in real trouble, but you're not likely to get in any trouble in church much.
No.
Especially if you behave yourself. You know, if you don't behave, you get in trouble anywhere, can't you? But he says in verse 8, you know, one time I was talking to a guy, you know, and he found out I was Primitive Baptist. He said, well, I bet you can quote Romans 2:8, can't you? I said, yeah, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not yourselves, it is a gift of God. Yeah, of course we give. You know, that's true, isn't it? For by God's grace are we saved through faith that was given to us, and by the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, and that faith was not yourselves. It's part of the spiritual birth, isn't it?
That's right.
Said, it is a gift of God.
Amen.
What is a gift? A gift is something free, isn't it?
That's right.
A gift is something free. But the Armenian world say, but you got to accept it. You got to accept it. How could you refuse it? How could you refuse it? It was a free gift that was given to you because God loves you.
That's it.
He said, not of works. That does away with all that stuff you got to do, isn't it?
That's it.
Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship. That means that he made us, don't it? Created us in Christ Jesus. How do you get in Christ Jesus? The Lord put you there.
Yeah.
1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30 or 31, I think it is, said, but of him are you in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification. You know, that he that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. So how do we get in Jesus this morning? God put you there.
That's right. Amen.
God put you there. Isn't that wonderful? That's love, isn't it? That is love, isn't it?
So,
well, that he loved us that much. Well, if you go back to the book of Ephesians there in chapter 1, he tells you how much he loves you, don't he?
Yeah.
Said, well, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, we wasn't even here.
That's right.
He chose, but he loved you before the foundation of the world. You know how I know that? You go to John chapter 17. The Lord Jesus Christ is talking about his people. You know, he said, "Thou lovest me before the foundation of the world, you know, that they may have the love that thou hast given me." Which means he loved Jesus Christ before the foundation of the world, and he loved you also before the foundation of the world. That's how long God had loved you. Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah.
He not only loved you, he gave you to Christ. He predestinated you to be conformed to Christ's image. And Christ went to the cross and forgave all of your sins, every one of them. There's no sin that's not covered by his death, burial, and his resurrection. And that he not only did that, he preserved, he gave you an inheritance, which is heaven, isn't it?
Yep.
Heaven. It says, "In whom we have obtained an inheritance." That means it's yours. He's obtained it. And he tells us there in John chapter 10. He walked out of Solomon's porch, and some of those old Jews come to him, and they said, "If thou be the Christ, how long will you make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly."
Yeah.
He said, "All these miracles that I'm doing, they're proof that I'm Christ."
Yeah.
But he said, "You believe not because you're not of my sheep." Then he makes another statement. He said, "My sheep, the ones that he came into the world to save, his sheep from their sin. For she shall bring forth a son, I shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Those sheep that we're talking about here in John chapter 10 are his sheep. He says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Just like a parent knows their child. They know the voice of their child. And the child knows the voice of his parents. So God knows you, your voice, don't you? You know his voice. You'll even hear it from the grave someday. When he speaks, you'll come out of the grave, won't you? In the resurrection, he said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish." I'm going to close out with Psalm 100. And we got to have common sense in everything. You know, it's already a little bit past time, okay? You know, people can't sit and listen forever. You got to use a little common sense. But anyway, we'll go to Psalm 100, and the Lord will bless us. We'll close it out with this, okay? He said, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord." How do we do that? The way we live, isn't it? The way we live. He said, "Well, that's noise." Well, if you were singing this morning, it was a beautiful noise, wasn't it? I loved that singing this morning. Y'all did a great job. He said, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord." You know, last night, as we sat around the house and Brent's little kids, they were all of them were taking turns reading the Bible. And we woke up this morning, and my wife, she said, "You know, wasn't that beautiful? Wasn't that beautiful last night, hearing those little kids read the Bible like that?" I said, "Yes, it was beautiful." And that's, that's making a joyful noise unto the Lord, isn't it? He said, "Serve the Lord with gladness." Were you happy to come to church this morning?
Yeah.
Or did you say, "Oh no, it's Sunday, I got to go to church again"? You know, we're supposed to serve the Lord with gladness. We're supposed to be happy about it, isn't it?
Amen.
Said, "Come before his presence with singing."
Yes.
"Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture."
Amen.
"Enter into his gates with thanksgiving How often do you thank the Lord? Do you thank Him when you wake up in the morning, you open your eyes and you can see? Isn't that something to be thankful for? And you can put your feet out on the floor and you can walk. You know, there's people that can't walk. There's people that have no legs.
Right.
We should be thankful just that we've got legs to walk, that we can breathe, and thankful that we can eat food. You know, we need to always be thankful to God and bless His holy name, don't we?
Amen.
You know why? Because the Lord is good.
Right.
The Lord loves us, and we love each other because the Lord first loved us, isn't it? And love is a beautiful, wonderful thing. It said, for the Lord is good, and His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. God bless you this morning, and after the preaching of the gospel, usually we say, well, they say the doors of this church are open. See, the doors of the church is always open, you know. But that means that if anybody has a desire in their heart, you know, to join the church and to be baptized, you know, they can come forward and let it be known to the church. And you say, well, you know, you was just telling us about how we had it made and how that we're a child of God, you know, we're going to heaven. So what's the use in even thinking about it? You know why you ought to get baptized? You ought to get baptized because God told you to do it.
That's it.
And Jesus Christ did it as an example that we should do, didn't he?
That's
it. So, well, will I get saved? Well, you're doing it because you're already saved, okay? And there is a salvation in getting baptized and going to church and living a good, decent, moral life. You save yourselves from this untoward generation, all this wickedness that goes on out in the world. But anyway, the doors of the church are open. If anybody would like to be a member, you know, while we sing a song, you come up and let it be known, and the church will wait upon you. God bless you.
Amen, brother.